Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to my Subaru for some more devotions on emotions. And today we're going to pick up where we left off on our study on guilt and shame. And just by way of reminder, emotions are a gift to us as humans. Imagine life without emotion. I mean, it would be bland. It would be very gray, very dull. And so while emotions may be difficult sometimes, and sometimes we do really dumb things for emotional reasons, the truth is emotions are a gift from God. They are normal. And our goal is to be emotionally intelligent. We don't want to stuff or deny our emotions, but we also don't want to wear our emotions on our sleeve and do what the world says, and that is embrace your emotions and be misled. And so we want to be emotionally smart, intelligent. We want to be emotionally healthy and mature. In fact, when you come to faith in Christ, God begins a work in you of transformation. He is molding you, shaping you, conforming you into His likeness, into His image. And so that means that He is also shaping, forming, conforming, transforming our emotions to be more like Him. That means we'll experience sadness, sorrow, anger, grief, and guilt. By the way, the only emotion that Jesus did not experience because He was perfect and without sin. So let's talk about guilt today, and there's two sides to guilt that I want to address. First of all, I want to address true guilt. This is so important because guilt is not always a bad thing. In fact, often it is a good thing. We would not want to be without guilt when we do something wrong. And so that depends, or requires, I should say, the understanding that there is a straight edge. There is something by which to measure whether we are right or wrong. Now, it's not always easy. It's not always black and white. But God has given us a conscience. He's given us His Word. He's given us the example of Christ. And so these all kind of help us understand how we are to live out our lives, not only in our behavior, but also our attitude and our motives. And it's really important because Jesus addresses the heart of our behavior, which is often at a level of our motivations and our inclinations that we're not always even aware of. And so true guilt is very important. Listen to this in Psalm 51, verse 4. David prays, "Against you," that is God, "you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge." And so when we come before God, we're not supposed to try to justify ourselves or make excuses or play the victim card. When we come to God with our guilt, we simply surrender to His verdict. And we agree with His verdict that we are wrong and that we are guilty. See, David understood that God had a straight edge, that God sets the standard, that it is God who determines what sin is. And it is God, by the way, who is first and foremost offended by our sin. Not offended in a childish way, but it violates His nature and His character. And so we can't resist all guilt. But fortunately, God gives us a way to deal with healthy guilt, with true guilt. And so what we're to do is to bring it to Him. Just imagine for a sec. Don't you wish Hitler felt guilty about some of the things that he believed early on before he systematically slaughtered over 6 million Jews and put the entire world in a war? See, I heard an interesting story. Right after World War II, the U.S. and most other countries did not believe the reports they were hearing about the slaughter of the Jews. Not Germany. I mean, Germany was one of the most advanced countries in the world, one of the most highly educated countries in the world. It was considered at the time a Christianized country. And, you know, maybe something like this would come out of a less sophisticated, a less evolved group of people somewhere else in the world. But after the war, U.S. soldiers, as they came into some of the cities where there were concentration camps, they were horrified, absolutely horrified at what they found. In one particular city, the U.S. general forced the people of that town to clean up after themselves, to clean up the mess that they had allowed to take place in their country and in their city. In fact, the mayor and his wife, after seeing what they had allowed, and here's the truth of it, they knew. They just didn't want to admit that they knew what was really going on. And you know what they did the next day? They committed suicide, both of them. See, they knew stuff was taking place, but they just couldn't or didn't want to believe that it was really happening. So how do you deal with true guilt? And we've got to be careful here. Now, next time I'll talk about phantom guilt. And that's a whole other issue that is really important that we address. But true guilt is when we violate God's word, when we violate our conscience. There's only one thing to do, and that is to admit it. Don't cover it. Don't deny it. Don't make excuses for it. Don't play the victim card. Just admit it. God, I'm guilty. Your verdict is good. Your verdict is right. And then what we do is we confess it. There's this beautiful verse in the book of 1 John. It says this, if we confess our sins, and to confess means to agree with God's verdict. We agree with God that we are guilty. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. And look at this, He's just. God is faithful and just and will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now let's pause here for a minute because this is really important. God doesn't sweep your sins under the carpet. He doesn't pat you on the head and say, oh, you're a good boy, you meant well, I'll just ignore your sin. No, God is a just judge. If someone violated you and you went to court and that judge looked at the person who violated you and said, oh, you're a good person, you know, you have a good track record, you have more good than bad in your life, we're just going to let this one go by. That judge would not be just, nor would that judge be good. And so God is a good and just judge. So how is it that He can cleanse us of all unrighteousness? Well, the reason He can do that is because of what Jesus did on the cross. God's justice was accomplished. God's wrath was satisfied when Jesus took your place on the cross. See, Jesus died the death that you and I deserve. He took the suffering. He took the justice that you and I deserved. And He lived the life. He lived the life that you and I could not. But He substituted Himself, and so He imputed. That means He has given us all of His righteousness. So when we stand before God, we no longer stand before God guilty, but we stand before God righteous, completely cleansed of all of our sin. And the next step, we admit it, we confess it, and lastly, we claim it. That is that we walk in it. We preach that word to ourselves, to our heart. We tell ourselves over and over and over, I've been forgiven. I've confessed my sin. I've been forgiven. I stand righteous before God. And we keep preaching that to our heart until we really believe it. And so that leads into the next one, but I'll get to that next time. This issue of phantom guilt. How come I still feel guilty? And that's an important one. A lot of Christians I know, including myself, have struggled with that for years. So God bless you guys. Let me give you a blessing before I go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace.